desire and interest in your prayers this morning. We'll say it's a blessing and a privilege to be in Holly Hill. I feel like I know you all, and I know that we have seen, many of us have seen each other in passing at meetings, but you all have been in our hearts, and we appreciate the prayers and the support that you have been to us in the mission work through the years, and trust that God will bless you all for that. I'd like to write our burden on the board. He hath raised us up. I am very thankful this morning that the Lord has raised us up. And there are a lot of people living in low places this morning. A lot of people living in despondency. A lot of people living in places of despair. A lot of people discouraged. But if you're living down there in a place of discouragement this morning, the good news is you don't have to stay there. And if there are things in your life that are holding you down, there is a place that we can be free from that this morning. And it's not through our own ability, but it's through the power of Jesus Christ. You will turn with me over to the book of John in the 11th chapter. John chapter 11, very familiar story of Lazarus. Now, if you will remember, Lazarus' sisters came to Jesus, and they brought a message, and they told him, they said, "Our brother's sick. You know, the one that you love is sick, and you need to come so you can do something." Verse 3 of chapter 11 says, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And as you remember the story, Lazarus died. Jesus took his time. And there's going to be times, and just to, if it makes you comfortable to know this morning, that there are going to be times that we pray to the Lord, and see, we have deadlines, see. And sometimes we say, "Lord, I've got a deadline, and I need you to come through by this date." Have y'all ever been there? "Sister Maria, I don't know what you're praying about. I heard your request. Sounds like you have a deadline." But I know that there are times that we put deadlines on God, and God doesn't show up when it seems like He ought to show up. And we can sit back in our human reasoning and we think, "God, you've been too late. You're too late. And if you would have been here," we look sometimes at things that have happened, some difficult things, and say, "Lord, we would have been spared this if you would have been on time." And if we're not careful, we can start charging God. But Jesus knows what He's doing this morning. And in your life, in the battles that we face, the Lord knows what He's doing. And the Lord is not against you this morning. There have been times certain things happen, and you almost get this feeling, it's like, "Lord, are you for me or against me?" The Lord is not against His people this morning. But Jesus said, "This is for the glory of God." The Lord had a plan in mind, and when things don't turn out like you think they ought to, just remember, God has a plan in mind. We read then that Jesus came, I believe it was 3 days later. He came, in verse 25, we'll pick up reading. Jesus said, in verse 21, He said to Martha, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." In other words, "Lord, if you would have done what you could have done, this wouldn't have happened." Has the Lord ever not done some things in your life? And you sit back saying, "Lord, if you would have been here, if you would have heard my prayer, this wouldn't have happened." Folks, God hears and answers prayer, not always the way we pray Him, but He's answering prayer. The Lord doesn't always do things in our time schedule, and He doesn't always do things like we ask Him, and it's because God knows better. There are times we pray for things, folks, if God answered them, there would be consequences down the road that we would regret. The Lord knows best how to minister to our needs. And I'm thankful that even when I pray, maybe I pray for something and God knows it's not good for me, the Lord's going to do what's best for me. In my mind, it may look like He's not answering prayer, but folks, He's looking at my heart. And He is answering the cry of the Spirit, even if it doesn't turn out like I think it ought to. And so she said, "Lord, if You would have been here." Well, the Lord did show up, though. And then He told Martha, He said, "Thy brother shall rise again." And Martha said, "I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." And then He asked a question. He said, "Believest thou this? Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yea, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into this world." And reading down into verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, see, He went and He saw Mary, and she was weeping. And the Jews were weeping which came with her, and He groaned in the Spirit and was troubled. Now, folks, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God that looked on the discomfort, He looked on the grief, and He groaned in His spirit, and He was troubled, and He said, "Where have You laid Him?" And they said unto Him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. You know that Jesus did not look on the people and said, "You just need to be encouraged and wipe up the tears and get over it." You know, Jesus entered into their grief. He entered into the difficulty and the trial that they were in, and He wept with them. Folks, the Lord is moved with compassion at the needs that we face. Listen to the sister sing this song this morning. I don't know what all you're going through, sister, but I know this, the Lord weeps with those that weep. The Lord is not just high and lifted up with His arms folded looking down, say, "You all ought to do better than that." The Lord knows our frame, the Scripture says. He knows that we're dust. He knows our infirmities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our struggles. And He weeps with those that weep this morning. The Lord is not unmoved by the things that touch our life this morning. But He is touched with the filling of our what? Of our infirmities. Of our sicknesses, of our needs, of our weaknesses. God is moved with those things. But I am thankful the story does not conclude with Jesus wept. I am thankful that He wept. I am thankful that He was moved. But the story didn't stop there. In verse 43, Jesus went to where Lazarus was, and he had been in the tomb. And He spoke with a loud voice and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about him with a napkin. And Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Folks, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was in a condition that no man had the power to change. But through the power of Jesus Christ, He raised him from a place of no hope. There was no life, and Jesus brought him to life. Jesus is still in the business of bringing people to life this morning. And those of you that are carrying burdens for your unsaved loved ones, don't give up hope. We can look at them and say, "Well, they're so far gone. How can they ever get right with God?" We serve a God this morning that still has the ability to raise people from the dead. He has the ability to take those things that have people bound up, the addictions of the world, the sin of this life. He has the ability to say, "Come forth and make a new creature out of people." Therefore, the Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. He's not the same as he was. All things are what? They're passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That was not talking about reading a self-help book at the store and turning over a new leaf. That was not talking about someone gritting their teeth saying, I'm going to try to do better. It's talking about a divine work that Jesus Christ will do in their life to do what man cannot do. I do not have the ability this morning in my own strength to overcome sin. But I do, through the power of Jesus Christ, have the ability this morning to say no to the devil. And if there are those this morning that are bound to addictions of this world, the Lord Jesus came to raise us up from the state that we are in. But you know, it's not only sinners that need to be saved. Saved from. Yes, saved from sin. But there are some things sometimes that we as God's people need to be delivered from. There are things in life that sometimes start to bind us. There are things in life that start to press us down, and we need the Lord to come along and raise us up. Jesus is still in that business today. Oh, how many times has the Lord come by your way and reached out His hand and lifted you up? Aren't you thankful for that? I would not be here this morning. He has done it for me spiritually. He's done it for me emotionally. He's done it for me physically. He's done it when I was low, and He came by and He raised me up. It's not enough to say, well, I'm going to do better. I'm going to grit my teeth and get out and try to just believe. You know, faith is not about conjuring something up in your own self. Faith is not if I try hard enough. Faith is about a belief in a God that can do divine work in my life. Faith is, Lord, I can't do it, but I believe in You. That means that my faith is not dependent upon circumstances. Now listen, our faith is not dependent upon, well, did I get the answer that I wanted? My faith is in Christ Himself, that He can live, He can work, He can move. He is the object of our faith this morning. It's not in the results of our prayers. Faith has value because of the object of it. And our faith is in Christ Jesus, that He has the ability to do something divine. Over in the book of Acts in the 13th chapter and the 29th verse. Acts 13, 29. It said, when they had fulfilled all that was written of Him, speaking of Jesus Himself, they took Him down from the tree and they laid Him in a sepulcher. Was that the end of the story? Thank God it wasn't the end of the story there either. But God raised Him from the dead. And that is why we are here this morning. That is the reason why we have hope this morning. This is the reason we can pray with belief for those that are still lost in sin. It is because of God. Jesus was crucified. And there were the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the Lord, that were thinking, okay, this is over now. We've quieted Him down. They forgot something. Scripture says, but God. In other words, don't forget there's a higher power. But God. We can look on circumstances. We could go around and we could have a real good pity party this morning, couldn't we? I could start if you wanted. I could tell you all of my problems. All the people that, you know, do things they shouldn't, that wear on you. You know what I'm talking about? We could talk about all our physical problems. And we could talk about all our financial problems and all the things that are burdening us down. I want to end it all that. If we did that, I would want to end it this way. But God. All right now, there's a problem, but don't forget God. There's a God that loves. There's a God that cares. There's a God that weeps with us. But there's a God that loves us enough not to leave us down, but to raise us and lift us up. God lifted Jesus up from the grave, and He's still in that business in our lives this morning. But God. We look and talk about how wicked the world is. And it seems like the Lord gives me a lot of messages on the times that we're living in. But I don't want to be despondent because of the darkness of the time. Because God is still alive. There is still power to live a holy life in this present evil generation. But God. So I say, oh, the pressure's great. But God. You're being tempted this morning and it seems like the temptation is so strong you don't know how you're going to make it. But God. He came to raise us up this morning. He came to enable us to do what we could not do. When situations look impossible this morning, but God. Thank the Lord. That same power is given unto us today, that through Jesus Christ we can be raised up. And by definition, to be raised up means to be elevated. To be lifted up above where I was. Where are you this morning? Do you know the Lord wants to lift you up? The Lord wants to raise you up from where we are. And I am so thankful this morning. I know there are difficulties of life. I know there are things that begin to oppress. But I also know that there is a greater power than that. And there is one this morning that weeps. But there is one that reaches out His hand and lifts us up and raises us up. Raises us up. Romans chapter 6 in the 4th verse. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? In newness. In newness of life. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead. The same power that God used to raise Jesus from that sepulcher, but God raised Him up. That same power is given to us this morning. That's as Jesus was taken in the grave and raised up, the Lord has given us that same power that we could be raised up from a life of sin and walk in newness of life. We live in a time where churches are filled, the people that go to them, are filled with people professing with their mouth. They're elevating Christ with their tongue, but many times their life is not proving the power of the resurrection. Many times their lives are not proving what Jesus, that Jesus came to raise us up. I wonder why most churches don't have an altar and offer sacrifices on it. I don't know what they think that the sacrifice of Christ did if they stay in their sin. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ enabled us that we could rise above our sin and live in newness of life. We don't, I'm just going to talk this home, folks, right? Do you know we don't have to be hypocrites? That's a positive thing now. You say, oh, he's talking about hypocrites. No, we don't have to be hypocrites. We don't have to profess something that we don't have. Because there's power this morning through Jesus that He can raise us up. That when we get up and say, I'm saved, what are you saved from? Well, I've been in the congregation for a long time. What does that have to do with it? I'm saved, the brother sang the song. I'm saved from the power of what? From the power of sin. Yes, we're tempted. Yes, we have rough places we go through. But I found a power in Jesus Christ that I can look at the devil and say no. Amen. Time we say no to the devil, folks, there's power to live holy. He's given us the power through Jesus Christ to walk in newness. In other words, I'm not the same man I used to be. I don't act like I used to act. I don't do the things that I... You say, what's different? I found a greater power. It's not because I've fine-tuned my life and I've got myself in control. No, I found one that enabled me to do what I didn't have the power to do. He lifted me up. He raised me up. You know what? Someone that wins the lottery, that's a form of gambling. Let's not do that. But someone that wins the lottery, we say, well, they have been elevated. There's stories you can read about people that won the lottery and they were in poor, nothing. And then all of a sudden, overnight, they had great riches. You know, we have something better than that this morning. We have something better this morning. And we have riches in Jesus Christ. I was low. I was despondent. I was in despair. There was nothing to live for. But Jesus has raised me up. I'm a rich man. You rich people here, I'm a rich man this morning. I'm rich in grace and love. I'm rich in power, not because I work so hard, but because I found Jesus. And every need that we have this morning, He's there to supply it. He's there to minister to us. And we say, I don't know how to do it. The Lord's saying, you're right where I want you. When you get to the place you say, I'm at the end of my resources, I can just see God saying, oh, finally. They finally recognize they can't do it. Say, well, I'm struggling to live holy. I am too, but I'm not because I found Jesus. Now, when I try so hard, some people struggle spiritually. And sometimes I think you just need to quit trying so hard. Now, you may say, Brother Michael, what are you preaching? I want to tell you what I'm preaching. I'm preaching that we are not saved by our own ability. We cannot live holy because I'm crossing every T and dotting every I. I am living a holy life because the power of Jesus Christ in me. And He is the one that enables me to live without sin. So then, when we come to service and say, I'm thankful to be saved, it's not exalting ourselves. It's not self-righteousness. It's because Jesus has raised me up. And that's where all the glory goes. It's what God has done. Thank God. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians, in the second chapter, the fifth verse. Even when we were dead. You know, that brings us all, puts us all kind of in a common place. You know, we can look at this little clique here, and this little group here, and this little group over there. You know, the sister told me, I told her before we came, I said, I'm looking forward to coming to Holly Hill. We've been had a desire to come for a long time. Well, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you're not disappointed. You know what I said? Where the Spirit of the Lord is. We're one in Christ, are we not? We're one, but here He's talking about where we all used to be. He said we were dead in sin. We were lost. We were without hope. We were without the ability to lift ourselves up. But let's read on. When we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us. Now that word quicken, we don't use that in everyday language anymore, usually. But that word quicken means made alive. We were dead in sin, but He has made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. How are we saved? Through grace. It's not through our own strength. It's not because I'm a third generation. I told the folks at home the last couple weeks, I said, there is no such thing as third generation Church of God people. No such thing. You may come to a building, but if you're in the Church of God, it's because you've been born again and entered through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only first generations. We were dead in sin, but we've been quickened together through Jesus Christ. Raised up. Now, Brother Clint read the scripture last night over in Psalms, in the 40th chapter. He brought me up also. He made me alive. He brought me up. He raised me up. Also out of what? A horrible pit. And out of the miry clay. You know what miry clay does? It tends to just start sucking you down. It holds you. You're not able to get out. It's strong. It has an attachment. And it said, He lifted me out. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock and He established my going. Aren't you thankful the Lord lifted you up this morning? Aren't you thankful the Lord has quickened you? And listen, if you're not quickened, if you're not alive this morning, God has something better for you. We don't have to keep going on with a form of religion. And I know we all have religion because we're all at church on Saturday morning. So we've got something. There's some reason why we're here. But we have something better than religion. I've been made alive through Jesus Christ. I've been lifted up. I've been raised up. I've been elevated. Folks, there is nowhere else I'd rather be this morning than right here. There is nowhere else. There's no ball game. There's no entertainment. There's no... We might do some sightseeing if my wife gets better after this meeting. But I want to tell you what. There is nowhere I'd rather... Anything I'd rather see than being in the presence of the Lord. Being in worship the Lord with God's people. Because you know what? I enjoy this. How do you enjoy this? I don't have to be here this morning. I chose to be here, didn't you? Oh, it's because the Lord lifted me up. He changed my desires. He changed my love. The Lord is the object of my heart this morning. Oh, thank God. He lifted me up. Thank the Lord. He lifted me up. Set my feet upon a rock. and He established my goings. In other words, He didn't just lift us up to let us fall back down. I want to say, saints, there's too many people that come down and say, I want to get saved, and get up and go right back to their sin. God has something better than that this morning. There is an experience that it's not just, Lord, I'm sorry, but Lord, I'm going to turn away and I want to hold on to You and I want You to lift me up. I want You to, Lord, I'm going to pray until You change my heart. Oh, there's not enough praying through this morning. I want to encourage the young people and all of us, keep coming and praying, but know that there's an experience. The Lord won't only lift you up so you'll fall back down, that He'll lift you up and establish you. Amen. That you can now start growing. And you can start getting closer to God and gaining victories. He'll establish your goings. I don't know how many of you remember the story. It was all over the news media back in 1987. The story of the 18-month-old girl. Jennifer McClure was her name. She was an 18-month-old girl and she fell down a well. I see a couple heads nodding. You remember that story? It was an 8-inch, I believe it was an 8-inch pipe well. They said that pipe, it went down about 80 feet down into the ground. And this little 18-month-old girl fell down into that pipe. And so they thought she was lost. There was very little way they thought they could get to her. The workers... Rescue workers came and worked for 58 hours to try to get that little girl out. What they ended up doing, that 8-inch pipe went down deep into the ground. So what the rescue workers did is they bore a hole a lot bigger and dug down in as far down as they could go, and then they cut over into that pipe. And they put balloons and things up underneath the little girl. But while they were working, there were some people that brought oxygen. They put oxygen lines and ran it down that hole so there would be air to breathe. They were working together. And they say that there was nothing that stirred not only the American people, but the world was watching. The world had been captivated by this story. And they said when that rescue worker came up, out of that big hole, after he got that little baby out, that little 18-month-old toddler out, he came up with her in her arms. She was alive. She had had oxygen. And after 58 hours, she was still alive. And that rescue worker went down there and got her and brought her out. You know that's what Jesus did for us. He went down. See? He went down where we were. He didn't just say, yes, come on, you can do better. But He brought me up. He went down where we were in our sin, in our despair, with the addictions, with the despondencies, with the hopelessness. And He took us in His arms and He lifted us up because of His love. Oh, folks, you're not in this by yourself this morning. You're not in it by yourself, but we have a Savior that is there to reach down. When that little toddler, that little girl, didn't have the ability to move, she was stuck. She couldn't do anything, and it looked like that surely she would die. But there were people that cared about her, that were willing to go to any extreme to rescue her. Folks, that's what Jesus has done for us this morning. He loves, and He cares, and He didn't save us this morning to watch us fall back now. So when you're in the battle and you're in the trial, remember, Jesus has a vested interest in you. He died for you. He cares about you. And He's not saying, now I saved you. Now just buck up. Just get, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. No, I don't believe in that kind of salvation. I believe in the salvation. I believe in the Savior that says, here, let me help you. You can't do it. I got it. I'm so thankful. If it had not been for the Lord raising me up even after He quickened me and brought me up out of that miry clay. Folks, there's been enough other things in life that has wanted to try to drag me back down. But I found a Savior that was there to come down where I was. Put His arms around me and let me know. When I was going through a very difficult time about a year and a half, 2 years ago, my mind wouldn't shut off. Couldn't turn it off. Wake through the night, lots of burdens, and I couldn't turn my mind off. And the only thing that carried me through, it wasn't people, people pray, and I appreciated all the prayers, but I'll tell you what it was when the Lord came.
And he told me through some of the darkest nights, he said, "You're my child." And I knew the Lord loved me. That was my lifeline. That was my lifeline, to know that the Lord loves and the Lord cares. Folks, you're not in this by yourself this morning. It's not only the ability to save from sin and raise us up from that. That's wonderful. But that got us going. But we're on a journey. And on a journey, there's some rough spots. There are some difficult places that people go through. And I have seen the Lord do this. Not only for me, I've seen Him do it for so many that have gone through things that on the surface we look and say, how could they go through that and keep the smile on their face? How can they keep the joy of the Lord? They're going through such a difficult time. I've seen homes split up, but I've seen the Spirit of the Lord come in and carry people when they didn't have strength to go themselves. Those that have lost loved ones, how can they still have a smile on their face? You say, oh, aren't they grieving? Yes, but they found that there's one that's weeping with them and one that's carrying them, one that's lifting them up. Oh, I'm so thankful the Lord hath raised us up this morning. Oh, thank God, it gives me hope to know that for the battles and the trials of tomorrow, the Lord's going to be just as faithful. The other day, I had something happen. Someone did something. And I'm not someone that wears my feelings on my sleeve. You know, some people just get hurt. And if you think, Brother Michael, what are you trying to tell us? No one's been talking about Holly Hill, okay? So I hope you all don't have this problem in South Carolina. But you know, there are some people that just get hurt over anything. I mean, they wear their feelings on their sleeves. In other words, it's like they're just out there with their sleeves. Just, oh, they looked at me wrong. You know, we need to grow up. We need to do better than that. The Lord wants to lift us up. If you're in that place, the Lord wants to raise you up. The Lord doesn't want you to stay down in a place that you're so easily offended and easily hurt. He wants to raise you up. And she said, oh, well, this is the way I am. Folks, grace changes who we are. Grace enables us. Maybe you're too sensitive with people, but the Lord wants to lift you up, and He can do it by His grace. Well, I said that to get to this point. There was someone that did something that was very hurtful. They wronged us. And it's not the first time, you know life. But it was someone that did something, and it was very hurtful, and I was talking to my wife after it happened. You know, when you talk to your spouse, sometimes it's just kind of raw. How you're just kind of telling how you feel about it. You know how it really feels. You know, the Lord has come along and He's raised me up. You see, the hurts of life, it hurts. There are things that happen that are painful. But you know, we cannot afford this morning to miss heaven over what someone wronged us in. I can't afford to do that. So what Lord wants me then to forgive and to let go, He wants to raise me up. Folks, the Lord can raise you up out of bitterness this morning. The Lord can raise you up over those that have hurt you and offended you. Those that have really done you wrong. There is power in Jesus this morning that He wants to lift you up. Why do we want someone else to have that kind of control over our joy? You see, if they did wrong, now we're going to let them control our life that we don't have any joy either. We're hurting ourselves. You know, this is life, though. This is life, and it happens to all of us. So what are we going to do when it happens? Lord, I'm in a low place. And Lord, I need You to raise me up. I need You, Lord, to lift me up. I need You to take my hand and raise me up above this. Let's read on in verse 6. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places when Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's raised us up together. This morning the Lord will raise us up together. To sit where? In heavenly places. There's a place that we can sit in a good place.
A place where there's joy, a place where there's love, a place where there's forgiveness, a place where there's grace, a place where there is power again to do what I cannot do in my own ability. Amen. There's grace for that, to sit together in heavenly places. Who are you sitting with this morning? Who's sitting at your table? Have you ever walked into a room where people are eating and kind of, wondering what table you're going to sit at? Who's sitting at your table this morning spiritually? You know, the Lord wants to lift us up and raise us up that we can sit in heavenly places. We can sit in a place where there's peace and there's comfort. You remember the story this morning when Peter, the disciples were in the boat and they saw Jesus walking on the water. Jesus came walking on the water and Peter, they were afraid now. But Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." In other words, have you ever been in a place you knew that it was something, there was a power at work, and you weren't even sure if it was God or the devil? Have you been in those places? It's like, okay, I'm not sure, something's going on. And it's, "Lord, if this is you, Lord, if this is you, identify yourself and bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." Folks, we can blame Peter for what happened shortly, but Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water. Well, he didn't stay on top of the water though, did he? He began to look around and he got fearful. And he began to sink. And he cried out to the Lord. He cried out, said, "Lord, save me." Does anybody remember how the Scripture phrases it next? It said, Jesus immediately stretched out his hand and he lifted Peter up. He immediately. Has the Lord done that for you all? Do you know there are times in your service for the Lord that you find yourself in places, "Lord, I am where I am because I was answering your call. I've been living right. I've been trying to fulfill your will. And now, Lord, it seems like things have turned against me. And I'm looking around at all these trials and these battles. And our faith begins to waver. And we begin to sink." But folks, when Peter cried out, Jesus lifted out his hand. And he lifted him up. He raised him up. Folks, it is no spiritual disgrace this morning to cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need you to raise me up. I've been struggling. I've been pressed down. But Lord, I need a hand this morning." I am so thankful the Lord is there for us to call upon in the battles and the trials of life. He is there. I'd like to conclude this morning in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter. The 14th verse. He said, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Folks, the Lord, if we will stay faithful, there is going to come a day where the Lord is going to also raise us up to actually be in heaven. In a moment, the Scripture says, in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trump, when Jesus comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and all they that remain shall rise to meet Him together in the end. Folks, I'm waiting on that day. There's going to come a day the Lord is going to say, enough is enough, and He's going to come back for His people. And He's going to raise us up. And we will not only now be having the heavenly places spiritually, but we're going to literally be with the Lord. And you know the Scripture says that there's no darkness there. There's no night there. There's no tears. There's no sorrow. There's no trials. There's no temptations. There's no battles. There's no people problems. But we shall forever be with the Lord. Do you want to be ready? Well then, know this, that there is a hand that is reaching out to us, that is there to raise us up. When we pray for our lost loved ones, take courage this morning. Take courage. There's still a power that can raise them up. If there's been something in our life that maybe has bound you,
There's power to be raised up this morning. And also in all these other things that have been touched on this morning, there is power that we can be raised up above that place that we were in. And the Lord does it with compassion. Sometimes people start to feel people's judgment. Have you ever done something wrong and felt the judgment of people around you? You know, that's not always a bad thing. But do you know, for someone to be in judgment just to sit there and, well, what do you think you're doing? Do you know the Lord this morning in those places that we're down here, the Lord is looking at us with love. And He has His hand stretched out to us and He wants to raise us up. So what we need to do then is call out to the Lord and He will raise us up. I thank God. I have drunk South Carolina water. Lord willing, we'll be back. But do you know that if we never met again, that everything that you all face in life, there is a Savior that loves you and cares for you. He's there for us, and He is there with His hand outstretched to raise us up in every problem we face in life. Amen.